Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast Supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedy ad free. That's amazon.com/comedy ad free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Welcome to the Horror Hangout, a podcast where three bearded film fans watch the best and worst horror movies of all time. My name is Luke Condor with Kate, and joined by my regular co-host, Mr.
Ben Arrington.
And semi-regular co-host, Mr.
Andy Conjuvit Turner. Hello, guys.
How are we doing?
Hello.
We got drinks. Have we got food? Are we eating dinners? What are we eating?
Eating a lovely hot dinner on a podcast. But it's too hot, so every time you put it in your mouth, you're like...
That never stops me. The amount of skin I've lost in the roof of my mouth from eating burning hot pizza.
Pizza's the roof of your mouth. And then that's second only to the injury of if you eat a jacket potato when it's too hot, that'll burn you all the way down.
Potato's crazy, yeah. It doesn't give up. It doesn't let up all the way down. It clings on.
It's like a xenomorph's blood. It's like burning through the... I feel like it might drop through me.
Yeah, that's how you get out of prison, like an Alien Resurrection. You just ask for a baked potato and drop some on the floor.
Yeah. I like it indeed. What's your go-to baked potato topping of choice?
I've got a go-to, but it's pretty standard. Baked beans, cheese... beans and then cheese on top for that. But if it's cheese on toast and then beans on top of that, that seems to be the right way for that.
That is very nice.
So it all ends up in a big mush anyway.
It does. But it's just those few seconds where it looks kind of presentable. Beans, yeah. Then cheese. And lately I've been doing little bits of crispy bacon. Just cutting some bacon up into little strips. And then little crispy bacon on top. Delightful.
I talk about this a lot, actually, for some reason. So cheese on toast is probably the best food. If you have, like, seeded bread, lots of butter, nice butter, mature cheddar cheese, and don't melt it. I think if you melt the cheese, you're a coward. Because it makes the flavour inert. Like, the non-melted cheese has, like, more, like...
Saying cheese on toast but non-melted cheese.
No,
you see, I like to melt the cheese for my cheese on toast, but I like to cut it a little bit to give it some punch, put some music in my food, bit of reggae sauce in there.
Okay, yeah, so sauce on top is good. Reggae sauce sounds good, but I put the Nando's spicy piri piri. That's my go-to at the minute. Sometimes it's
just sauce, maybe.
That's good. Yeah.
Welcome to the toast hangout.
Okay, all right. Well, have we got any news? Horror news, not cooked bread news.
Any horror news? A couple of bits. I saw you just tweet about this, Luke. So it's not, obviously, Mad Max isn't considered necessarily a horror movie, but I suppose it is post-apocalyptic, got some horror elements in it. But Hugh Keyes-Byrne, who is the guy who plays Immortan Joe in Mad Max Fury Road, and he plays Toe Cutter in the original. He's passed away, unfortunately. So rest in peace to Immortan Joe. But I didn't realize he was the same guy in both of those films. Did you?
I have no idea. No. He looks quite different, to be fair.
But it is a double rest in peace as well, because Suspiria co-writer and the star of Deep Red, Inferno, Daria Nicolodi, has died as well, age 70. So two rest in peace bits of news to start on a nice note. Mm. And I'm moving swiftly on, mentioning Peter Dinklage for the second episode in a row.
Oh, yeah.
Peter Dinklage is apparently going to star in Legendary's Toxic Avenger reboot, which could be exciting.
Is he going to be the Toxic Avenger?
Yeah, I think so. Oh, no, wait. It says the article doesn't say whether or not Dinklage is playing Melvin, who turns into the Toxic Avenger. He could easily be playing the villain. Do we want him as the villain? He was like a villain in one of the X-Men films, wasn't he?
I forgot he was in an X-Men. Is he in
Days of Future?
He's in Days of Future Past, I think. Yeah,
he's Bolivar Trask. Yeah, he's Trask.
Trask. So we've kind of seen him as a villain. I was kind of thinking it'd be pretty cool if he was like the lead in a reboot like that. That would be interesting.
I'm gonna be a little bit skeptical here and say I'm not sure of a non-trauma Toxic Avenger film.
Good point.
Yeah, I do wonder if this will make people go and watch other trauma films. I quite like the idea of getting people to experience what we experienced at that film festival. Return to Nukem High Volume 2.
The second part. Yeah, that was that was an incredible experience. And I think I'm not sure what was better, the fact that the film was insane, or watching our friends that didn't know what... Was it Dan and Carl that we were with?
They'd literally turned up 5 minutes earlier after like a three-hour journey, exhausted. And we shoved them into this room where Lloyd Kaufman was like shoving a mop up someone's arse so far that popped the penis off the other end.
Yeah. It was a crazy... But we really should do a trauma episode, because that was... They're such fun.
We have discussed doing a trauma episode before, have we not?
Yeah, but it's always one of those things like, I don't know if I could casually put a trauma film on. Like, it has to. I mean, what film would we do? I don't think we should do Toxic Avenger. I'm not too sure which one, though. Tremia and Juliet, maybe? Poultrygeist.
Tremia and Juliet, Poultrygeist. Poultrygeist is mad.
Yeah.
I'm up for it. Some point in the new year, perhaps.
Yeah. Any other news?
He's not resting in peace. Sorry, Ben, if I'm jumping into your flow. Freddy Krueger's apparently on the way back, isn't he? With Robert Englund himself.
Is he?
In Stranger Things?
Not only in Stranger Things, but apparently, rumour has it that Robert Englund may be appearing in a new Nightmare on Elm Street film.
Didn't hear this. No way.
Yeah.
Oh, Fredward, again.
What, like another reboot? Is that what we're saying? Another reboot? Or just a sequel? Like
very scant details, but apparently he is looking to return to the role as old Mr. Krueger himself.
Yeah.
The newest Nightmare.
The latest
The only other... The only other bits of news are like not really, they're just things about films in the pipeline. So apparently the Overlord filmmaker Julius Avery is directing a new take on Van Helsing for Universal with James Wan producing. How do you feel about that Van Helsing?
What was the filmmaker, what did he do before?
Overlord.
Yeah, I can imagine him doing that quite good, actually.
Yeah.
Yeah, keep it quite punky. Like, Overlord was quite crazy, wasn't it? I think if you keep that kind of energy.
Get Hugh Jackman back again. Maybe you could do a song and dance number as well. 2004 Van Helsing came out. Jesus. I've still got a lot of love for that film. I mean, it is kind of ridiculous. But
I'm not anti-Van Helsing.
A lot of love for it. What was that?
I'm not anti-Van Helsing.
No, I don't think you can. I don't think you can be. It's too much of a good time.
Hmm.
There was a series as well, right? There was a...
Yeah, I remember Sleepy Hollow.
And a Sleepy Hollow, yeah. just avoided them for some reason. And the only other thing I saw was that Alex Garland, so obviously most recently directed Annihilation, has apparently wrote a low-budget horror movie that he's working on making. That's pretty much it. He said, I wrote a low-budget horror movie set in the UK. I don't know if it's unrealistic or not. I don't know if he means the film or to make it. But yeah, apparently shooting may begin spring, summer 2021. I mean, that's enough in news story. Sorry. There wasn't much.
So Rebellion, the company who owns 2000 AD and Rebellion Games and that, they opened up a TV film production studio in Oxford. I think it was last year. But they were showing off, they have that technology to use on Mandalorian where it's like you create an environment in Unity or Blender or something and then you project it and your actors are sort of inside it. And they've shot a short film or something like that. It's about knights in a forest or something. But it looks really good from what I've seen. And I'm thinking that kind of thing might make quite great-looking projects quite attainable. But like Duncan Jones, who's going to be doing some sort of 2000 AD movie at some point. Rogue Trooper, yeah. So it'll be interesting. I'd love to go down to that studio and see what kind of thing they're doing there.
Yeah, man. Sounds very interesting. That's it, though, in terms of news. I ain't got anything else. Have you guys seen anything else, or is that?
No. Have you guys watched any good movies or TV or anything?
I'm getting into the transition between Halloween and Christmas. So I watched for the first time. I watched Better Watch Out the other day.
Cool. What did you think?
I really liked it. I genuinely did not see the early twist in the movie coming. You know,
I remember the overall arc, I guess, but I can't remember how it's revealed at the start.
Yeah, that initial turn that comes maybe about 30 minutes in, I didn't see it coming until it happened, and then it got very interesting. It's a decent movie. Like, I really enjoyed that. This is one of the few that I'm reluctant to say anything because it's still reasonably new. I think it flew under the radar for a lot of people. I think it's worth checking out.
Flew under the reindeer, yeah.
Yeah.
It's got the great Home Alone riff bit as well with the.
Yeah.
I don't want to spoil anything for anyone, but it's definitely worth watching. It's a lot of fun.
Yeah, so recommended that. And then we watched Krampus because it was on Netflix. So we watched that. It was good. It's good fun. I think we've spoken about Krampus on the show before, but I think it suffered maybe at the time it coming out because I think it was heavily marketed as having a very big Gremlins feel, and I don't think it quite hit the heights of a Gremlins. But with each watching of it again, probably seen it like a few years and on the bounce now, and I think it's grown. It's really good, and there's a great cast.
Yeah.
And then, other than that, I haven't watched it yet, but I had one of those magic Twitter moments the other day. Someone was asking, your favourite Christmas Halloweens, and I mentioned, you guys are fans, that I was going to watch Jack Frost, as I do every year.
Yeah.
I got a little message from a chap called Michael Cooney, who said, oh, thanks, thanks for the love, and I was like, who's this fella? Only the director. And I was like, oh, well, I'm glad he knows. Because, so the director of Jack Frost, he's out there. He knows that people are enjoying his, I'm going to say, Christmas horror classic.
Yeah, I'm going to watch it again this year.
Yeah, I love Jack Frost. He directed the second one as well, which I guess is a summer holiday movie. So it's there's things for all seasons.
I forgot to get back to you. We should ask him to come on the show. See if he's up for chatting about Jack Frost for 20 minutes or so.
Yeah, I'll well, now we're Twitter best friends, I'll send him a note and see if see if I convince him on. I was surprised actually, he's from the UK.
Is
so he? Oh, right. we haven't even got to mess around with time zones.
Yeah.
Awesome. It'll be interesting to know how that came together, how it got made. Anything else you've seen?
That's it for me.
So I watched, I don't know if you've seen this new movie that came out fairly recently. It was on Hulu, I believe. It's the Sarah Paulson starring film called Run. So directed by Anish Chaganti, who directed Searching.
Okay.
There are a couple of, there are, if you're familiar with that film as well, there are a couple of little Easter eggs in this one. But yeah, I quite liked it. It was kind of predictable, and you kind of, as soon as you knew what the setup was, you kind of knew which direction it was going in. But it's a enjoyable, tense thriller, and I think that's mainly because of the performances of the leads. So you've got Sarah Paulson as a mother figure, and then her daughter, who's I think is her first movie role, a disabled actress called Kira Allen. So I think the attention to detail is really good, and it was really well paced, and there's some good sort of like little set pieces. But yeah, I enjoyed it. It was good.
Cool.
Check it out.
So you watched Primal.
Oh yeah. I was
raving about it last week.
So yeah, so we discussed it last week, didn't we? You sort of described it, and I was like, yeah, sounds like someone I'd be into. So I went and checked it out, and I'm glad I did because it was awesome. And I kind of like devoured it pretty quickly. Like I think you said you watched it in a few days. Yeah. I think I did the same. I guess it's got like some horror themes. There's definitely like one or two episodes that are like straight up horror episodes, right?
Yeah. There's, I don't want to spoil anything, but there's like certain creatures that are more horror. Oh, there's even like the druid kind of. Oh, there's like a zombie. Yeah. There's plenty of horror.
There's like completely zombies, legit. Right. Right. Without ruining things too much, there's like, even though it's set in like, I guess, what, prehistoric era, it obviously crosses over in some ways because obviously dinosaurs exist at the same time as humans. But yeah, there's loads of weird and wonderful monsters and horrible things.
It's
and it's
quite
like,
fantastical it's, when it goes through.
It's fantastical, yeah. It's brutal, but it's got a lot of heart and soul, and it's quite emotional.
You're surprised by how many times like you're nearly crying as you're watching it. It just borders on that kind of. Also, it captures that feeling of like when the shit's about to go down and something bad's about to happen, and then he comes out, the main guy comes out on top. It gives you that kind of fist pumping adrenaline, like the same kind of Mad Max kind of feel.
Yeah, because you're like, how are they going to get out of this one? Every single episode, pretty much.
Yeah.
So yeah. It is really satisfying, and if you love gore and you know ridiculous over the top violence as well, then
yeah,
this is probably the show for you.
Yeah, it's one of the best things I've watched this year, I think. One of the most unique things, anyway.
Yeah, I think
it's the team. It's the team behind Samurai Jack, right?
Yeah, Samurai Jack and Dexter's Lab, Hotel Transylvania, and Clone Wars,
the
Star Wars TV show that I haven't seen, but apparently he did that or something.
Yeah, UK audiences though can watch it on is on all four at the moment, isn't it? So give it a go.
If you're not a UK audience, there's been some great deals recently on VPNs as well. So get stuck in.
Yeah. I think in America you can just watch most of Adult Swim's content on AdultSwim.com. I'm pretty sure you can just watch a fair few bits. Although it used to be like that. I'll just quickly, I haven't watched too much this week, but I wanted to round off my Takashi Miike November, and I rewatched Audition. So that's like the second time I've seen it. I can't remember what rating I gave it last time, but if it wasn't an A, I was an idiot. It's such a good film.
Yeah, it's great.
I think we went for A's.
Great bait and switch. Did we give it A, do you think?
I think we gave it A's, yeah.
I'll dig it up and check while you're looking.
Yeah.
So that was so episode weird. 4, I think.
Wow, episode 4. Fuck, Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
I think I hope that my taste as a horror consumer has sort of matured over these 147 episodes or how many episodes ago it was. But it's so good. And I just love how it plays it so straight for so long, for like the first three quarters, and then it just gets really bizarre, sort of really insane, and then ends on like it's an absolutely brutal scene. You can't look away from the screen. Yeah, it's fantastic. It's an amazing movie.
Well, Luke, I'm afraid to announce to you that you are apparently an idiot.
Oh no!
You both gave it Bs.
What buffoons we were back then. Buffoons. Yeah,
exactly. 3 years ago, us dickheads. So.
It is a great movie. Have you got over Itchy the Killer yet, Luke? Have you recovered?
I feel like I've repressed most of that memory of that film. Or maybe I haven't, and that's just the way the film plays out. I'm still not sure what happens. And I was like watching a couple of those explainer videos on YouTube.
Yeah.
And I watched two of them, and they had completely different takes on what happened. Like one of them was like, one of these crazy ideas, like, yeah, so this character can read minds and he's telekinetic and he can do all this stuff. I'm like, what? Where did that come from? That was not in the movie I watched.
There's an anime prequel you can watch as well, but it doesn't help. Sorry. Yeah. Sorry to announce that now.
Yeah. I think it's based on a manga. So Kashimika, where else did I watch? Happiness of the Katakuris, which is by far the weirdest. That was like a kind of a Pet Shop of Horrors sort of vibe, but more bizarre. Yeah, it's good. He's a good filmmaker. But I think out of all of them I've seen, Audition is probably the most solid entry as a film.
Mm.
Yeah. And that's it. Other than that, just watch the Pumpkinhead.
Yeah. Pumpkinhead.
The old one, this one.
Yeah, I don't really know. Why did we watch this? It was definitely on a list that we'd made of films we wanted to do on the podcast.
Put it on a spreadsheet for things to watch. I think Pumpkinhead comes up in a couple of like horror boogeyman lists, right? So there's like an iconic feel to it. I think the Stan Winston's creature design, which is probably one of the more remarkable pieces of it. Other than that, for me, this film just reminds me of being in video shops as a kid, because I remember seeing the covers for this thing. Maybe Pumpkinhead 2?
The cover for it, though, has got some hands holding a pumpkin, and like, well, I suppose it kind of makes sense.
Maybe it was 2 to add him on.
Why is it called Pumpkinhead? Is it just because his head kind of looks like a pumpkin?
Doesn't he get dug up from a pumpkin patch?
Yeah, but
his head's not literally
a pumpkin, is it? I
don't know. It's almost like, okay, so Pumpkinhead is a 1988 American horror film. It was a directorial debut of special effects artist Stan Winston. The film has built up a cult following a year since its release. It's the first in the Pumpkinhead franchise. Oh, there's just another one, isn't there? Oh, okay, so there's one direct-to-video sequel, two TV film sequels, and a comic book series. So after a tragic accident, a man conjures up a towering, vengeful demon called Pumpkinhead to destroy a group of unsuspecting teenagers.
Yeah,
yeah.
That hit the nail on the head. So IMDb has it at 6.2. Rotten Tomatoes, 65 critics, 48% for the audience score. Letterboxd is at 3.1. Tried to find some choice reviews from Letterboxd. I've got Damn, This One Is Still Awesome. That's Starland CA. He gives it 5 stars. And then Wong Chi put, who the fuck makes a monster movie where the damn monster doesn't appear until the last 15 fucking minutes? This is just a grieving redneck of a monster slapped in the finale. 0.5 star. So.
Yeah. It almost feels like Stan Winston had an idea to make this monster, or maybe done some tests with this monster and he kind of made a film around it. Yeah. He hasn't directed much else, though, has he?
I don't know, actually.
He's done the effects for loads of stuff. So he's done, like, The Thing, like Batman films, Aliens, Terminator, Predator, The Relic. I think he's worked with, like, he's worked on, like, Jurassic Park and... Well, loads of stuff for Spielberg, actually. AI, War of the Worlds, Indiana Jones, and The Kingdom of the Crystal Skull. This alien did kind of remind me of, like, a Crystal Skull alien from the end of...
He reminded me a bit of like a bad version of Station from Bill and Ted.
Wow. Yeah, maybe. He also did direct a film called A Gnome Named Norm. Do you remember this film?
Say again. No name. What?
A Gnome Named Norm. So if you Google it, look at some images from it, some like screen grabs from it, something about it, it looks very like Dark Crystal, Jim Henson-y, but it is Stan Winston making the thing. But it's like a buddy cop film with a gnome named Norm. Norm is just an average gnome. And
he doesn't look very gnomey, like does he? He looks like a little Bigfoot is what he looks like.
Yeah. Or he looks like something out of the Dark Crystal, doesn't he? He looks like a Jim Henson.
He could be a Gelfling. He's got a very Billy Piper-ish face. He also directed a short called Michael Jackson's Ghosts.
Yeah, that, I remember that as well. And that's got all the songs from like Blood on the Dance Floor and another album, I think. It's kind of like a extended montage of music videos. How did he go from directing Pumpkinhead to directing A Gnome Named Norm? Which, how did he go from like being like horror movie effects guy to directing a buddy cop film about a gnome?
I was going to say, this puppet looks pretty good. The gnome. Yeah.
The gnome named Norm. It looks kind of terrifying. There is something. I know it isn't a Jim Henson puppet, but there's something about puppets that look like that and Jim Henson puppets that I find really, really terrifying.
He's also a bit like, you know, in Jumanji when a little boy becomes a bit monkeyish because he tries to cheat at Jumanji.
It looks like Steven Tyler from Aerosmith was turning into a monkey.
Like, you say that? That's actually a thing that related to A Gnome Named Norm, is that people say he looks like Steven Tyler.
A gnome named Norm looks like Steven Tyler. And then it's a picture of someone else.
Yeah, but I kind of want to watch it. I kind of want to watch that because it just reminds me of a certain time. And I think it reminds me of a certain time where I didn't really care if films were bad or didn't really know that films were bad.
I used to enjoy Mac and Me. Whoa!
I was just about to say. Mac and Me.
Yeah, that is a terrible film. If you watch it now, it's so bad.
It's basically an E.T. ripoff, right?
McDonald's made it, I think.
But I remember thinking it was good.
Yeah,
McDonald's made it. They had to call it Mac.
There's a bit where he's dancing on the McDonald's counter, and he's like drinking loads of Coke. Where he's got like a straw hole in his mouth, perfect for a McDonald's straw.
is it Mac and Me where the little boy gets like shot to death by the police?
Jesus.
I can't remember.
If it's not in the theatrical cut, it's in another cut where the little boy in the wheelchair actually does get shot and killed by a policeman. It takes a dark turn. Maybe this is why Stan Winston is involved.
Yeah,
it's got a 0% approval rating on Rotten Tomatoes. Apparently, Mac and Me.
See, when you're like a 10-year-old kid, maybe younger, I don't know. That doesn't matter. You see a cute little alien creature who whistles. I think it whistled like Gizmo from Gremlins.
Yeah. It's constantly like, oh!
It's like Paul Daniels a little bit.
But apparently McDonald's and Coca-Cola are both sponsors of the film.
Yeah.
Mac and Me. What a classic. Not really.
So Lance Henriksen is in this film, who we all know as Bishop. I was surprised by how good he was in this. I've got to say, all the scenes of him and his kid were great.
His monkey bar kid.
They were genuinely good. Like, it captured a sort of innocent, sort of sweet, country bumpkin sort of tone. Like, he could have stayed at that all the way through. Obviously, it takes a sort of a darker turn. But, I don't know, I think the first half an hour... Lance and his kid were spot on.
It's really nice.
Yeah. Is Joel the kid? Is that the kid's name? Joel.
I think it's Joel, one of the bands.
I kept thinking I recognised the little kid, but then I think I just got him confused with someone else, like a little blonde actor. Maybe that little kid he was in Little Vampire or something like that.
You know, he looks a bit, he's got a very specific look years. Of the Christmas Story and the Little Vampire and Jerry Maguire and Milky Bar adverts, like blonde kid with glasses, that classic look.
So the kid, I had a quick look whilst I was watching it. He plays young Clark Kent. Am I looking at the same guy? Jeff East. What's the kid's name in this Pumpkinhead? What is his name?
I think the kid's name is... I was going to say Tom, but I don't know if that's right.
Tom's one of the others. I've written down the name of the bad teens because they shout them as they're being killed.
I might have been looking at the wrong person then. But one of them played a young Clark Kent in the Superman films.
I reckon that'll be one of the blackhead kids.
Billy? Is it Billy? No, maybe not.
Right, let's see what we can find.
Yeah.
Hey, Chris. Which one's Chris? You don't know who's Chris? Okay, I think Chris might have been one. Oh, Chris is the good guy of the group.
He's the string vest waistcoat man, is he?
He played a young Clark Kent in the Superman films. It was important to get that out there.
Right, it's Billy. It's the kid's name is Billy because Bishop's name is Ed Harley, and there's someone called Billy Harley who was in Pumpkinhead. I know what you did last winter. He's in that. he's also in Fear and Loathing in Las Vegas, Replacements, Batman and Robin.
Batman blank, and Robin.
Blank Check.
It's Mr. 94. Freeze. Well, he's had quite a... He's had quite a storied career, and obviously this was a great place for him to start.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't recognise most of these people. John DeQuino plays Joe. Was there anyone else who... I did recognise that, you know, the neighbour, who kind of butch neighbour granddad guy. I recognise him. I'm not too sure what he was from.
Oh, the neighbour that he was delivering some supplies to. He is the tramp that becomes rich in They Live.
Is he really?
Okay.
Oh yeah, Buck Flower is his name.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, everyone. I'm Craig Robinson, co-host of the Ways to Win podcast, alongside my good friend John Calipari. I've been on the go recently. Phoenix, Kansas City, Chicago. If you're like me and have a home but aren't always at home, you have an Airbnb. Hosting your home or a spare room is a very practical side hustle. If you live in a big game town, you can Airbnb your place for fans to stay in. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Yeah.
Buck Flower.
Yeah. Okay, so we start off in the past, in the 50s. A guy is running away from Pumpkinhead. And it's like a family. Ed Harley is a little kid at this point in time. And he's in bed, scared of this guy outside is running away from Pumpkinhead. We find out right away that the monster's real. I don't think we get to see him. No, we do quite get to, we do get to see a fair bit of him right at the start. He's outside the window.
Yeah, he's outside the window and he's snatching up this guy who's beating on the door, right? And this is the thing that struck me in this scene. I've just written red versus blue, because like inside it's all blue. And outside, as soon as this pumpkin head turns up, everything goes red. It's like some really stark colour work that goes on while this guy gets
a couple of times. It kind of changed as well. Like at one point it went from like red to blue, like as the monster got close to the guy. It was like he was in a completely different place.
Yeah. Like literally with a snap, it's like they've obviously got like, given the time, late 80s, probably got a pair of those 3D glasses that were just switching which lens is in front of the screen.
Yeah.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
Go on.
So obviously, Ed is watching. There's a young Ed. That's right. And he witnesses the man through the window getting caught and killed by, at this point, an unseen monster.
Yeah.
We definitely know he's quite tall.
Yeah, as far as you see him, he looks out his window.
I think you do see him. Yeah.
Not even like heading off, like around the corner or anything. He's just there picking up a man. That was his go-to move. He picks him up like an action figure and looks at him.
Yeah,
He's really big on the picking your people up.
Sound. Yeah,
there's some really distinctive sound design, isn't there? And it sounds like the Thing, you know, like the tentacly, weird, snaky.
Yeah.
Yeah, which I think is like throughout the Thing, but it was pretty much exactly the same during this. Whenever he's there, but like he's supposed to be like a demonic monster, right?
Yeah.
But I don't get that vibe at all. It's just an alien vibe. Doesn't seem demonic.
His body is full on xenomorph.
He moves like a xenomorph as well. Like.
Yeah.
Has he got a tail?
Yeah. He's got a big long tail. Yeah. It's a big fleshy xenomorph, really.
Yeah. It reminds me of something else, but I can't quite put my finger on it. Like, I kept thinking of this just now.
A bit xenomorph, a bit station, a bit...
Sweet potato.
bit sweet potato, a little bit kind of like... PlayStation 1, like, gene stealer from Warhammer 40k with less arms.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
What's that thing called? A Tyranid.
Like a Tyranid, yeah.
Yeah.
A bit like a Necromorph from Dead Space as well, but like a big stiff one. Like a big, stiff,
weird-looking
one.
Yeah.
A little bit plastic dinosaur is all these things melded into one.
Yeah. An interesting choice. So we skip to the present day, and we've got basically Ed Harley is a nice little shopkeeper. He lives with his son Billy, and their dog
Gypsy.
Gypsy.
But then he says it's a boy, and then he says, "Oh, I'm just playing with him." And I was like, "Gypsy's a girl's name for a dog, surely." Maybe that's me showing my bias.
No idea. Apparently the dog is the same dog from Gremlins.
Is it?
But I've not seen Gremlins in so long, I can't quite remember.
It's called Barney in Gremlins. Obviously there's a lot of gender confusion going on with this dog. I'm going to have to look things up.
Yeah. So he just spends time... Oh, he's like washing his son's hands. He's reading him stories. We don't know what's happened to the wife. I think the wife passed away at some point.
Yeah, I saw in a write-up it says he's a widower, but that isn't really tackled in the film as far as I remember.
It's all very sweet, golden sunshine, like everything's sort of yellow tinge. It's got that bread advert feel to it, Milky Bar Kid feel to it all.
I would have watched that, Luke. You know, it wouldn't have been appropriate for this podcast, but if it was just maybe some mild peril, like maybe some rival kids are going to cheat a bit at a treasure hunt, but the Milky Bar Kid sorts it out with his dog, this would have been a lovely film. Maybe his dad teaches him a lesson about doing what's right.
Yeah.
There is a parallel universe version of this film where the Milky Bar Kid moves out the way of the dirt bike just at the last minute.
Yeah.
And they all have a laugh about it, you know, and that's it. And there's no pumpkin head. He gets left alone. There's no terrifying witch woman.
Maybe Steve goes like, oh, you know what? That could have been a nasty accident. I'm going to drive more carefully in the future.
Yeah, I'm not going to drink and drive either. I just give it up. The Steve, devil's juice.
Who goes by the name of Scratch.
Oh,
so you know he's a son of a bastard.
Scratch. Jeez, he's given himself that nickname as well. You know, someone who gives themselves that nickname.
Yeah.
Call me Cobra.
Well, people call me Cobra. My friends call me Cobra. Yeah. No, we don't. What?
Blade before, right? Haven't I? One of my uncle's friends, Blade. I don't know why we call him Blade. His name's like Matthew or
something. Is this real? Is this real life?
It's always been called Blade. I don't know. This is one of the nicknames that must have stuck at some point.
That'd be great. Maybe that's the thing. Like that maybe is your last opportunity to make up a nickname for yourself. You know, people try and reinvent themselves when they go to a new school or they start a new job or something like that. Maybe becoming like an uncle is your last chance, right? Kids can't argue, oh yeah, people have always called me Champ.
Scratch.
Champ. People have always called me Scratch. Shit. That's shit. That's
shit. Ladies, like, we're not calling you Scratch, mate. We're not calling you Scratch.
surely, if you're going to choose a nickname as well, he didn't choose the name Scratch, unless he's got like a... Yeah, I have got psoriasis pretty badly, I guess. That's why they...
Yeah, it's a really itchy guy. There's so many these teenage kids. They're city folk. They're riding from somewhere. There's like Scratch, who's the bad owl, the badass guy, drinking some beer whilst he's driving.
Hey, crack me open a beer, will you? Yeah, that's right. I'm driving, but I don't give a flying fuck.
He does a wheelie.
Don't Scratch.
Everyone else has got normal names like Steve, Joel.
Yeah. The other card is four normal people. They seem more like reserved, kind of chilled. And then they pull off at the, it's not a petrol station, the shop. It's like a little corner shop.
It's just like a little corner shop that they're nipping into. He doesn't sell liquor, he just sells fruit.
Ovis and Weetabix. And the and Milky Bars, of course. But like instantly, like they get on the motorbikes and they start riding around within seconds.
Yeah, but you wouldn't do that. Like, you're just popping into the shops. You probably haven't got time to get the bikes off the car and start.
Yeah, seems like too much effort, doesn't it? Yeah.
Yeah.
Not for these guys.
At some point as well, the neighbours had been around. The neighbours who, they don't have a working bath or shower, I can only assume. Because they're all covered in, like, poo.
they've all just got like generic like I live in a redneck like a dusty kids. Yeah, I live in a dusty environment, little crisscrosses of dust on them like pig pen.
Yeah.
And they're wearing like dungarees and stuff.
Yeah,
and they're little bastards. They wind up the little kid for some reason, but then one of the girls like jumps to his aid. Yeah, leave him alone. He's only got a few more minutes left to live.
Yeah, don't go telling him someone called Pumpkinhead's going to get him for misbehaving.
Yeah.
Order.
So, Lance Henriksen, what's his name? Ed Harley. He forgot Bishop. To get the feed, some cattle feed or something for his neighbour. So he says, I'll go get it. And then I'll bring it around later. And when he's gone, I don't know where he's getting it from. That's when the big accident happens. It's quite tragic. The two motorbikers are motorbiking. Gypsy runs into the dirt road. And then the Milky Bug, the motorbikes are on me, he should have said, as he was.
As because he was, they were.
The motorbike wheels are on my head, crushing me to death.
Yeah.
Pretty bad.
I mean, he doesn't die straight away. He just seems to be crumpled.
No one attempts to get into a hospital like at any point, do they? Yeah, like, I know they're probably really far away from the hospital.
They just sit with him for a little bit, don't they?
Dead, are you?
I made a note here that like this is like for a minute he's like Schrodinger's kid who is like simultaneously dead and alive because he's picking him up and carrying him all floppy, but then he says something again.
Yeah.
Don't give her on me. He just goes, buddy.
So, I can't remember what. So, like, Scratch one says of, no one. One.
Of, yes. Which one's Scratch? The one who's like a little bit. Edgy. Tanked up.
Is it Scratch that? Is it Scratch that actually hits the Milky Bar kid with his bike, and he's like, "Oh, I'm not going down for this. I'm out of here immediately."
Yeah. So he drives to some cabin or something, but he's also we find out he's one of the guys is his brother as well. He's the other guy on the motorbike who's the only one who stays behind whilst everyone else goes. I don't know why everyone else goes. Like, I know Scratch is escaping, but everyone else seems to follow him.
Yeah, why wouldn't everyone else stay there? And
yeah,
I know this is like a pre-mobile phone world, but, you know.
Yeah. Only Joel stays behind, and he's waiting there whilst for Lance Henriksen, for Bishop, for Bishop Ed Harley to return. And it's quite, I don't know, it's a genuinely affecting moment when Joel just has to show him that his kid is like dying on the floor, but as he's walking away, he says, "How can I do anything?" And Bishop gives him the blue steel. There's like a piano sting as he kind of stares at him. So you know he's dead.
Scary.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know what Joel was expecting. Really, if you bashed someone's kid with your motorbike, they're going to be angry, justifiably so, I would say.
Yeah.
The
least he could do is go in and buy a chocolate bar from the shop or something. Give him some money.
Yeah.
buy a root beer. So what? In the cabin where everyone's hiding out, they're all falling out. Scratch has locked two of them in the basement or in a cupboard, a closet or something.
They have like the most minor argument as well about you probably should do that. He goes, "Oh, I ain't going down." And he immediately like does like the most almighty punch to the back of one of the other guys.
Yeah.
Then he hits him with a log, doesn't he? He like goes, "Well, you hit me, will you? Well, I'm going to log you, you twat." It's all ridiculous. Yeah. Don't they say that he's on probation as well? So like, "You're not going down for this, man." Yeah.
The judge has told him, "If you run over just one more kid,
any more kids. If you run over any more kids,
if you've been drinking as well, then you're done." The whole thing that I did make a note here, like when they first like start getting the bikes out and riding about, and you know Ed Harley tells the Milky Bar kid to stay in the shop and not run about outside. It gave me huge vibes of like Casualty. You know, like when this terrible accident is about to happen.
A recreation on 999.
Yeah. Pretty much. Just goes running off and, "No, stop. Oh, for God's sake. They're doing jumps over there. Someone's going to get flattened. Money's on the kid." At least the dog didn't die, I suppose. That's one minor win. Right.
That's the main thing.
Yeah. Scratch is... he locks two of his friends in the base in the closet. He's put a bit of wood in front of the door so they can't get out.
I'll keep you in.
Yeah. Bit of wood.
I can't remember. He's in charge of the situation. No one's oh yeah, he pulls a phone out of the wall, the phone cable.
Yeah.
So they can't even find an ambulance for the kid from there anymore either.
Yeah.
I take it they were meant to be going to this cabin, right? It just happened it was close to where they were going anyway. They didn't just hide out in this cabin.
Santa Parks. They've gone and they're
yeah, it looks like it could be Santa Parks. We've got a Groupon offer, all right? We've got a Groupon offer, so we're still going. Because you can only... I've paid for it now. It's come out my bank.
This was the last day I could redeem it. I've got to go.
So at the same time, Ed is obviously... Oh yeah, the kid dies. So
yeah, he dies. He says like "Dad," and then dies just in the house.
Yeah, sad.
Yeah.
Ed
like drives to the neighbor where all these little kids lived. Basically says that he needs help. He recalls the time when he was a kid that there was a woman who... A woman. Is that what he says? Does he say there was a woman who like, saved someone?
There's someone... I need help with something. And then...
Yeah.
It's not the granddad tells him he doesn't want none of that nonsense, but one of the others says, I'll take you to see... I didn't mishear this massive, did I? Her name is Haggis, isn't it?
I think it is.
Yeah,
it's Haggis.
It is Haggis. It's like, right, she's a hag. Yeah, yeah. We've got to give her a name of some sort. Haggis? That's gold. That's liquid gold, that is.
I was reading...
Get it in the script.
I was reading about the sequel, and apparently there's a hag character in that one called OC, because it stands for Old Crone.
Oh wow!
Yeah.
But yeah. Right now it's Haggis, and Haggis is pretty terrifying in herself when he goes to visit.
Haggis is terrifying. She's got that kind of crazy voodoo kind of house thing going on. Bones everywhere. She's blind. I think she's got the whole white eye thing going on.
She looks a bit like a terror hawk.
Yeah.
She does look like a terror hawk, definitely.
You think, though, bearing in mind Haggis appears to get paid for assistance in gold, she'd actually have the nicest house.
Yeah. Well, she didn't get many customers, I bet. one a year. No. Maybe she does something else. No. I think she works the checkout counter as well, part-time.
Definitely needs a few jobs.
100%. But she,
so Bishop is a witch.
So Bishop takes his dead son to see Haggis, and she basically says, "Nah, mate, I can't do anything about bringing people back to life. That's not my area of expertise." And he follows up by saying, "Oh, come on, help us out with something then." She goes, "Oh, all right then." All right, aww. Fair enough. If you leave your dead son here and go to the pumpkin patch and dig up something, then you'll get what you want. She's not very clear on what he's going to get here, though. I think I would need a little bit more specific information before I dig up a body from a pumpkin field.
Is this what he wants, though? Because I think he knows at some point that he can't bring Billy back, doesn't he?
Yeah, she explains that she can't do that.
Say what you want, and he goes, I want... Does he say, like, revenge or vengeance or something?
I don't think he said that out. I can't remember.
Because she's really pushy, trying to get him to say it. She's like, say it! And he's like, say it! Oh, Jesus!
Pressure. All right, revenge, right?
All right, I want revenge! Jesus, you love it.
Yeah.
You should have been more specific and say, can I have specific revenge on the man who actually hit my kid with the bike? Not
care about everyone else.
Yeah.
Can I have revenge on the bloke called Scratch, please? Oh, I'll give you that for free. Don't worry about it.
Get a name like that. Get him gone.
That guy called Scratch. Get him gone. Get him in the ground. He gives us some gold, doesn't he? Well, it's like twos and ones.
Gets her a couple of coins, but that isn't enough. Well, she can't bring him back to life, but it's enough to get the advice to pop along to the pumpkin patch. I've seen a couple. We've grown a couple of pumpkins in the garden before, guys. Don't mind telling you. But they didn't in our garden grow on like a mound of earth 6 foot above the regular ground.
You're not doing it right.
We didn't? Nice. I am suspicious.
A little hillock for climbing up on. It's like a big... It's like a giant dirt marshmallow that he stands on.
Yeah.
So, what is the process of a pumpkin head? Does she plant a body and it turns into that, or does a pumpkin patch naturally grow
on bodies? I'm not sure about that, but he has to go and get a body from the pumpkin patch / graveyard.
Yeah.
And then he brings it back to Haggis. And then Haggis uses some of his blood and some of the Milky Bar Kid's blood to bring the body back to life as a pumpkin head.
Yeah, that's pretty much it. It's pretty complicated, isn't it? See, if I just feel like if I was Ed, I'd go, right, I'm going to have to go and sleep on this because this is nuts. If I still feel fuming in the morning, then let's get the pumpkin head. Let's bring him to life. But I need to go and sleep on it because I feel like I'm acting a little bit not in good faith.
Yeah.
So let me go and sleep on it, Haggis.
It's an involved process to have to do this, to get a pumpkin head. Because you think, if it was as simple as him going, yeah, I want revenge, and then going, oh, that's it then, revenge.
Revenge, is it?
But it's given me some Pet Sematary vibes as well. The first one.
Yeah.
I guess it was the whole digging something out of a grave to try and bring your kid back in some form or another. Mm. You're Andy?
Yeah, sorry, just got to close this door.
There's a pumpkin head behind him. I can hear it. I can see its limbs.
Yeah, all good. You're right. It's it is quite an involved process to bring up a pumpkin head, much like in Pet Sematary, where you've had to have really had to think about it for what looked like quite a long walk to the place that you've got to go.
I mean, Ed Harley does change his tune pretty quick, sharp when he realizes what I think is you would happening.
When you see it, like it's not like a real thing, like a little foam body thing, and when it grows up super quick, and then it's instantly like, oh, fucking hell.
You go, oh, bloody hell, wish I didn't do that now. Jesus Christ, look at the state of it. Mother of God.
No refunds, I'm afraid.
Have you ever been in that situation in real life that you've got something that's felt like a good idea at the time, and then you've got a real pumpkin head on your hands?
that's a good save for when that happens. I didn't mean to spend that much. I've got a ripe pumpkin on my hands.
Sometimes when you like order something in a restaurant, when at the time you're like, oh, Jesus Christ, this sounds amazing. And when it turns out as a monstrosity and you kind of go, oh, no.
Yeah.
Persevere with this and try and consume that monstrosity.
I can have the grand ice cream sundae to myself. I don't need to share that. We'll have one each.
Yeah.
And then you literally a mouthful in, that long spoon as well. One mouthful and you go,
oh, pumpkin head.
I got a pumpkin head on my hands. You can't leave it because you're going to look like an absolute loser.
When you put too much cake batter in the little pots, that's a proper pumpkin head situation as well, when it grows out of the thing. Bloody hell.
Oh, bloody hell. Making Yorkshire puddings as well, that happens.
Climbs out of the oven. Fuck you,
Jesus Christ.
You've nailed it, Asher. Cooking is where it is really at. Like, you know when you think, that ain't enough pasta for one person. That isn't enough pasta for two people. Or rice. I need more of that. Put a bit more in. And then before you know it, pumpkin head.
I was like, how many egg noodle nests does one man need for a stir fry? And I was like, wow, I'm really hungry. Three? Because they're only little. They're tiny like that.
Three?
Mother of God. It was enough. It was enough for like three meals worth. I was fuming with myself.
The thing is, you'll never learn. I pumpkinhead myself all the time whenever I've got a pineapple, because they're quite a job to cut up. You know, you've really got to get into them. You've got to prepare them. Pineapple, love it. It's delicious. My favourite fruit. And then I eat it. And I know, pineapple, quite acidic. It's got the acids in there that digest meat. So I know that if I eat enough pineapple, I'm going to get a tummy ache. But you know what? Do it every time.
Tummy ache.
Get myself just a
little Andy in his back garden on a massive mound of dirt, just like in the fetus position. Oh, I've got a bellyache.
Oh, what have you done? Oh, I pumpkin headed that pineapple. Sorry, lads.
Every time you say I'm pumpkin headed now, I'm thinking like the next level on from turtle heading, but a lot worse.
So,
a lot worse.
People listening in. Message in and tell us how you pumpkin-headed yourself in life.
Yeah. Instant regret. Instant regret.
Well, so Ed Harley pumpkin-heads himself right bad, because he actually gets a literal pumpkin-head on the go.
Yeah.
I can't remember. Oh, he passes out or something. Did he fall asleep?
I think it's because of the magic, right? Because they are, as we learn, him and Pumpkinhead are linked together. in ways that are never made expressly clear, but are numerous.
The blood, I don't know, the blood somehow, I don't know.
Yeah.
They're kind of psychically linked, aren't they?
Yeah, and sometimes when he does stuff, we'll find out in a bit, he can see what Pumpkinhead's up to.
Yeah, it would have been, I mean, we'll get to the reveal of the link between them, but I think what might have been a quite an interesting take on it would be to have the Pumpkinhead resemble and be like the recreation of his son, like a giant toddler face thing on the...
Yeah.
That would have been quite scary. Or maybe like turned into him, I don't know. Because obviously there's a part where he looks like Ed, and then we'll get into that. But yeah, that would have been pretty freaky if we saw him as a kid as well.
Well, especially if he had to stop him at the end, had to kill him again.
And if he had little glasses.
If he had little glasses, yeah. Bottle neck glasses, what we call them.
Someone goes past on a motorbike and he goes, shit!
So Ed just pops off home. He just makes his way back to, I don't know what he's going to watch, Gogglebox or something. And the Pumpkinhead goes immediately. And this is like towards the end of the film. I think it's like an hour in.
Yeah, it is like an hour in. We get nice family time and digging up a Pumpkinhead for quite a while. But then this is very backloaded. It is like the last 40 minutes where everything happens.
I've got to say as well, this was my least favourite part of the film. I thought it got a bit naff. Like it had been quite polished up to this point. And then it was just a lot of running around. A lot of kind of kill over and over again.
Like rapid stuff is happening.
Yeah. Well, Pumpkinhead kills the best kid. The younger brother. The one who didn't do anything wrong. The one who stayed with the kid when he was hit.
Yeah, Steve. Look, Steve. Oh, that's it. Because this is when he goes out after one of the girls that's run out, and then he gets like a crucifix and goes, "Oh, remember when this used to give you strength? Maybe you need that now." And then she doesn't need it because Steve could use that because he gets pulled off by Pumpkinhead. You literally lifted out of shop.
This is Pumpkinhead's favourite way to kill people. He's off camera and he lifts people off, like, out of shot.
He lifts people off and then he loves a long drop, does Pumpkinhead. He drops them.
Yeah. Also, it seems like he's sticking his fingers into people and lifting them up that way. I'm not too sure.
Like old bowling balls.
Yeah. So he kills... And he doesn't even kill them instantly. Like, he seems to, like... brutalized him over a period of time. I mean, he is probably made of pumpkin flesh, so there's not, he's got some, he doesn't seem to be particularly brutal. Like, he didn't seem to be sharp or like he could just rip a head off or something like that. He seems quite soft.
He looks very soft. He looks a bit like he's made of bread, like his arms are like long baguettes or something. You could just easily snap one off.
Yeah,
and dip it in a lovely bit of balsamic vinegar, and oil.
A little bit of melted cheese, but
unmelted cheese if you look under.
despite being made of soft bread and cheese, he throws around Steve like he's a bloody like a lamb, doesn't he? Tosses him all around the shop.
Yeah, and I think the girl runs back to the cabin. And then Pumpkinhead's like, he doesn't like run away. He doesn't disappear or anything. I think he grabs the girl and starts shoving her face into the window.
Yeah, he grabs another one of the girls called Maggie. Mother note next to this bit is that apparently Tracy, who's one of the other girls, I noticed has the exact same outfit as Ellie Sadler from Jurassic Park. But that's not how he gets grabbed. He grabs Maggie. And then draws a cross on her head with his, because the one bit of him that is sharp is his nails. Yeah. He's got some sharp nails. He draws a little cross, X marks the spot, and then throws her down. Is it her? No, and then you're right, Luke. That's how he surprises the others that are in the house. He smushes her face against the glass of the window.
Yeah.
And then throws her in.
Yeah. As as whenever any of them die, Ed Hartley feels it as well. He goes all golden and wobbly.
The color palette changes in the scene that Ed is in. It goes from blue to red, and he goes wobbly. You're right.
Doesn't he go back to the witch at some point and says, I've got it wrong.
Take him back.
Pumpkin Ed.
He does. Yeah.
Can you take him back? And she goes, no, it can't be stopped, and you'll die if you interfere with the...
Haggis has got such poor customer service.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just taps the sign. She's got no refunds and no...
No exchanges.
Taps the sign, doesn't even say anything. No refunds, no exchanges, no do-overs.
Can I not even have, like, Pumpkin Head credit? And, you know, I'll put this towards next one. And he's like, nah. He's got to complete it as stated.
Yeah, sorry.
Yeah. I can't really... I mean, there's some jumping around. the girl Pumpkin Head takes up right into the top of the tree, and he's like a squirrel at the top of the tree. And he drops her from a great height.
Onto a rock?
Onto a rock, yeah.
So is this the one that he... Yeah, that isn't the one he put a cross on. So, yeah, it's the next one he grabs outside. Is that after, like, Scratch himself has come out and said, oh, I'm the one you want, and he tries to fight him with a machete.
I got annoyed that they were trying to turn Scratch into... They were trying to redeem him.
I didn't believe that at all.
Yeah, he was an arsehole from the get. You can't change that around. What happens to... Scratch?
So Scratch tries to fight Pumpkinhead in the house with a machete, but they do like a 70s James Bond fight where he tries to machete him and he blocks him with one arm and then biffs him with the other.
Yeah.
And then they have That's a fight.
He's Pumpkinhead trained in hand-to-hand combat. Pumpkinhead
changes size quite a bit because he has a fist fight with him and then he takes... Then he takes Tracy and drops her on a rock. And our remaining three folks run off looking for help, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, so they go to the neighbor's house, don't they? And they're obviously just doing the classic, don't answer the door, leave them to it, we'll let the pumpkin head do his thing, and that's it. But one of the boys from earlier on, a little curly-headed boy, decides to leave and sort of says he wants to see if Pumpkinhead's real. He wants to go and have a good old look at him.
Clearly real. He's outside your house.
Yeah. Just have a look out, innit? Don't go out. Just have a little look out. There we go.
He swears his sister to secrecy and says, look, don't tell Dad I'm going to go out and have a look at what Pumpkinhead's at, but I've decided I'm going to help those city folk.
Yeah. He's putting his shoes on for ages during this bit. He was putting his shoes on. I was just like, what kind of shoes is he putting on? He's got like Converse that go out to his knees.
Lace all the way up.
Got like those different laces.
Yeah. So they're running away. I think at this point, Ed Hartley has decided that he's going to save the day. He's got a rifle.
He's got a rifle. He's on the way. The teenagers have got a rifle from their house as well. So having tried to get into the door, they try to get a car. And we have an extra that appears on scene for just a little bit of exposition. So they try and steal the car. A guy comes up behind them with a gun and says, oh, you wanna not steal my car? He's like, we need it because it's the only way we're gonna get safe.
Yeah.
And then he leaves, but his dog that he's with stays in the scene for longer than he does.
Oh, yeah. And then attacks Ed Hartley.
It does, yeah, because he becomes Pumpkinhead-y when... Is he becoming...
I think it must be. I didn't make that connection at the time. I just thought that dog's a bit strange. But
It's a good dog actor. Yeah. He does a full range of emotions. He looks quite nice when he's there at the beginning, but as soon as...
Yeah.
Ed Harley's getting pumpkin-y. He takes a lump out of his arm.
I like Ed Harley's pumpkin face. He looks like really goofy. Like his teeth turn into like little orange peel teeth. And his eyes are like a little bit orange.
He does like a good Undertaker face, doesn't he? Rolling his eyes back. Yeah, so Pumpkinhead gets another one of the friends. I think, is this where he gets Scratch? Because Ed Harley comes and shoots Pumpkinhead, and they think he's safe. They think they've saved. Oh, don't worry, he's got him. And then Scratch goes over and like kicks him. Pumpkinhead isn't dead and sticks the gun through him. Like
it looks like he's going to shoot him. It looks like he's like pointing the gun about to shoot him, and then he just stabs him with the gun.
Yeah. And obviously, gun's got like a little like, opening for it. He'd be like apple coring him.
Yeah.
There'd be a little tube of Scratch inside the workings of the gun.
Could have shot that at someone.
Yeah.
They're trying to escape and to get on the motorbike, but Pumpkinhead's got the chain. He's like twirling the chain around his finger. I'm grinning.
Yeah, he almost does it in a way like, oh, I got the chain, you see. Ha ha ha, silly you.
And then he picks up the guy on the motorbike and he throws him like an action man.
It's a good throw.
It feels like we're rattling through this, but this is genuinely how the pacing of the film feels, right? I think it's quite deliberate and slow in the build-up, but then once Pumpkinhead turns up and people are going, it all happens so incredibly quickly. So after he's got the guy on the bike, the young kid from the family turns up basically and says, "Oh, you know, come with me. That like I'm gonna help you." They hide and they this is before he's thrown him on the bike. So before we even got here, the young boy from the family has turned up and said, "Oh, don't worry, I'm going to come and get... I'll take you somewhere and we'll try and work out what's happening." They go to a mysteriously burnt down church. He gives them a little bit of exposition and says, "Oh, yeah, people said, like, if you've done a bad thing, like a killing, then people... get Pumpkinhead to come after you and he'll come and have revenge, but he might not like it here because this is a holy place." But he turns up and he don't give a shit, he just wanders in.
Oh, and he breaks the cross. Starts hitting it. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm not sure why he would do that, like, because he drew a cross on that girl's head, and maybe he's breaking the cross because he likes Jesus and he's like, oh, this killed him.
Yeah. His character's weird. Like, because you get the impression, because he looks like a xenomorph, you get the impression that he'd be a bit more animalistic. But, like, he, when he's kind of smushing the girl's face into the window or whipping the bike chain around his finger, he seems really cheeky. Like, there's something quite.
You cheeky little pumpkin head.
I kind of like.
Having a laugh at it, you know?
I kind of like him being like a cat. Like, he plays with his kills. Like, he climbs up, likes to see them drop from, likes to throw them like action men.
throws them like an action man, drops them on a rock.
Yeah. So I think it's coming towards the end now, right? I think.
Yeah, they go along with the two surviving teens, the boy from the family. They meet up with Ed Harley after the guy's been thrown like an action man. And they get in Ed's car and they drive off to his house. It turns out that the guy who was thrown on the bike, whose name is Chris, is not dead, and it kind of stomps on him and it's trapped him. And he's going to use him for a scene in a little bit. And my only other note here is that it's always so noisy when Pumpkinhead is on scene.
Yeah. Yeah.
And increasingly so, because you get like the thing shh noise, but then there's also thunder and lightning whenever he's around as well.
So does the guy not die? The guy on the motorbike?
No, he stomps him, but then I think he throws him through the door later on when he arrives at Ed Harley's place for the. Yeah. For the finale, because we need him to die, because that triggers the next part of Bishop's transformation, because he arrives and that's when he finishes off Chris, I think. And then our like our final member of the gang, so like I guess she is like the main goodie of the girls. She didn't stay with them, but she was always very vocally against Scratch. And she's talking to Ed Harley. Pumpkinhead turns up, and then she has a bit of a fright because he's sort of turning into him as well. He has like possessed face.
Yeah, that's the goofy face I liked.
Yeah.
Ed Harley kind of steps outside and accidentally impales his shoulder. Like he goes all the way in.
Yeah, impales himself, which is necessary to find out that that's also Pumpkinhead's weakness, right? Because when he stabs himself with the fork, Pumpkinhead goes, "Ooh."
And he's got Ed Harley's face.
Yeah, he's got Ed Harley's face, and he realizes that that's come a bit sharp, which gives Ed Harley the knowledge that.
How does he stab himself with the fork? He just kind of runs into it.
He just trips out, and I think the wire of his flamethrower gets caught on the door handle. You know, that's annoying. You ever got your headphones on?
That's one of the most annoying things in the world. That really irritates me. When you're doing some washing the pots and you turn away and your headphones get yanked from your ears because they're stuck on it. It's so annoying.
That is right up there with if you ever bang the top of your head on an open cupboard door or something like that. Those are the most infuriating things.
Yeah. Because your hands are wet or they're doing something else and like you can't get the phone out to rewind the podcast. Lost your place.
Irrationally angry. and it's your own fault. Like nothing else could.
Yeah.
But
yeah, this has happened. I think the boy from the other family and the dog are hiding in a little box. There's a nice little scene.
The dog is in its own box.
Dog opens up the box like Gizmo. There's a little peep out. So he's not getting involved with it. But Pumpkinhead is there. He's attacking everyone. And Ed Harley, Bishop, makes the choice that he's got a pistol from somewhere. And he shoots himself in the head. And Pumpkinhead falls down. But isn't dead because somehow
in the head, but then manages
not to be dead.
Yeah, he manages to like turn and stumble and walk over towards them.
He realizes he was an android this whole time.
Yeah, he's covered in that milk.
Milky Bucket was me.
That's how I spawned that child. So he reminds our final. Feel bad. I've written down all the generic names of the other kids that just die, and our final girl here, because no one shouted her name while she was being killed. I haven't got it written down.
I think it's Tracy.
Tracy.
Mm. That kid is called Bunt as well.
Bunt. So Bunt is also being attacked.
Yeah.
It's being attacked for being a bystander, I guess, and. Bishop says to Tracy, you gotta kill us, mate. It's the only way. And she blows him away a few times with a gun, right? And then that's it. Pumpkinhead falls over, catches fire, and the day was saved.
Apart from everybody was dead.
and it's not over yet either, because I don't recall any scene where we work out how those guys are going to continue with any type of normal life. But what we do see is old Haggis burying Ed Hardley /Bishop's body in the pumpkin patch. And it still has the necklace that the Milky Bar Kid gives to him in a tender moment at the beginning on. So we can tell that it's him. And she's burying him in the pumpkin patch, I guess, to be the next pumpkin head next time there's a revenge that needs doing.
I'll have to watch the sequel. Although I saw in the Facebook group in the Horror Hangout Board of Advisors, Anthony says the second sequel is it's rough. He said it's bad but not good bad, like this one.
He's
probably not gonna watch it, I don't think. Not anytime soon. I've got some name game for you guys up for it.
Always.
Okay. For the new listeners, the aim of the game is to... I need to find a succinct way of putting this. I'm going to read out... I'm going to describe a film, and the title of the film will rhyme with the title of this film. So, number one, there's a film I watched. It's a film about a man who puts a curse on loads of city kids. So now they have to go to bed really early.
Pumpkin bed?
Close, but maybe around about 9 o'clock, their parents call them up and say, right, you go and...
jump in bed.
Jump in bed, yeah.
Jump in
bed. Correct. Number two. This film I watched, it's about a man who curses a bunch of city folk so that a creature comes out of the ground, makes the city kids fall in love with it, and then it breaks up with them and hurts their feelings really bad. Oh, that one's cool. instead of killing them, it does something else to them. So it makes them fall in love with it, and then it breaks their hearts. Because it breaks up with them. I mean, what if someone breaks up with you, what do you... what is that? What happens? Maybe we can come back to this one. Let's come back to this one. I can see... I don't know if the Skype's frozen or if... Yeah,
I think Bella's frozen rather than I was.
Oh, my Lord. He has frozen. He's literally frozen in four.
Oh, that is perfect. Yeah, so I was just puzzled, Luke, but
I want to see.
Ben was so puzzled that he was frozen in place. I can't do that. I was like, pumpkin head games, but no.
Dumped instead. Yeah, let's see if Ben, if we can get him back. I wonder if his Wi-Fi's gone.
Oh, there he is.
Cool.
I don't know. I lost all connection for a second. What was the answer to that one? The city kids, I missed it.
Well, you were like looking like this, like you were in thought, and you froze like that for ages, and I thought you were thinking about the answer.
I went, I don't know. And then you were still silent, and I thought, all right, then tell me then.
So it's about a man who kisses a bunch of city folks, so a creature comes out of the ground, makes the city kids fall in love with it, and then breaks up with them to hurt their feelings. Dumped instead. Instead of killing them, yeah.
I like it.
I got that one right, Ben. I don't know if you've
heard like there. Well,
all right, number three. So this one you could describe as Alice in Wonderland meets Home Improvement. So Alice and Toto find themselves on the road to see Tim Allen in his big wooden house full of small people. So
what? Alice and Toto.
What's the little dog's name?
He's in Wizard of Oz, not Alice in Wonderland.
Okay, it's Wizard of Oz meets Home Improvement.
Oh, okay. I was confused.
Just to make this way more confusing. So it's Wizard of Oz meets Home Improvement. Dorothy and Toto, that's her name, find themselves on the road to see Tim Allen in his big wooden house full of small people. So it's a big wooden house full of small people.
Munchkin.
Big wooden, like a wooden house. You might find one in a garden.
Munchkin shed.
Yeah.
Yeah, boy.
Okay, this one is going to be difficult.
That was
so easy.
So this one's about a famous drummer who finds out that his drums are alive, and he has to wrestle the idea of hitting them for his art, or not hitting them because it hurts their feelings. And every time he hits them, he hears the drum skins speak.
Drum skin. Drumskin something. Drumskin Fred.
Drumskin Fred.
Well, the drumskin speak, I guess, is the biggest clue I can give you.
Oh, Drumskin said.
Drumskin said, yeah. Last one. Ben looks like he's either angry or...
or he's frozen.
Or he's frozen. Okay, last one. It's a film about a bunch of prisoners who have a flat football, and so they can't play football. So they have to get somebody to smuggle in a football pump into the prison so that they can play football. So they need to get a pump into the prison. So
I guess if they do it in a loaf, it could be pumping bread.
Pumping bread. Yeah.
Yeah. I'll give you that one.
Well done. You got them all right.
Correct.
So we need to rate the film.
Oh.
What are you going to go for?
I'm going to go... It's a shame, but I'm going to go quite low just because... You know, sometimes you watch it and you think, that was all right, but then you kind of like talk back about it and you're like, I've barely got anything to say about it,
mm-hmm.
good or bad. And I think that's when you really know that you haven't really enjoyed something. So I'd probably go as low as, because I mean, the effects are good. What's his name? Bishop's good. But I think everything else, the story, every other character, the threat, and especially that final third act is particularly weak. I have to go for a D+.
Yeah, that's quite low.
Been that low for a while.
I'm probably going to be quite low as well, I think, just for the same reason as Ben. Like, there's nothing really that gets us going. I think the fact that it's a real struggle to know any of the characters that are being killed. You know Bishop and you know the Milky Bar Kid. I probably would have enjoyed this film more if it had just been about them, and maybe it was about him protecting his son from Pumpkinhead. Maybe they're more compelling rather than those no good teenagers like Scratch getting done in.
Yeah,
you've always got to have respect for a Stan Winston design, even with this that clearly had a lower budget than some other stuff. Like, he makes remarkable and like memorable creatures. But it's kind of a shame that it's wasted on, you know, getting rid of unremarkable teens and dropping them off high places. So I might be even slightly harsher than Ben. Because I think even things which are less iconic, and because they're newer mostly, things like The Relic and so on, I'd put things like that on over maybe watching this again even.
Definitely.
Yeah.
So definitely. I'm going to chuck a D at this. Flat D. D flat. Okay.
I'm going to give slightly higher. All the same reasons, but I'm going to give a C-. Only because I quite enjoyed the first half an hour. I was quite into it. Up to the point, like, I like the lore. I like the whole concept of the curse and haggis and digging up a body in the pumpkin patch ground or whatever. It's a cool idea. It's a cool monster. But the last half an hour, I just didn't really care. That much, what was going on.
Yeah. I think I felt
Haggis is MVP. She is as scary as Pumpkinhead, I would say.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. I'd like to read the comics. I think Cullen Bunn wrote them.
I read the first one. It's pretty good.
Interesting, yeah.
Pretty good to check out.
Cool. Okay, that's it for today then. What are we doing next week? Oh, Jennifer's Body or... What's your preview?
Yeah, so I think we're down for Freaky next week. The new Blumhouse Body Swap, Vince Vaughn.
Oh, I'm looking forward to that. Should be good.
Yeah, looking forward to it too.
Cool. Sweet. Okay, well, we'll leave it at that then. If you enjoyed the show, become a patron over at patreon.com/HawkandCleaver. Thanks to Kovac Cameron for theme music. Thanks to Acast for hosting the show. Thanks to the listeners. Please consider rating and reviewing. Pop over to Facebook and join the Facebook group, Horror Hangout Board Advisors. Thanks to my co-hosts, Ben and Andy, for being right horror dudes.
Thank you very much, guys.
Remember your limits. Don't pumpkin head yourselves out there, everyone.
Yeah.
Try my best.
All right. Catch you in a bit.
Bye.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.